So for those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Daniel, and I'm excited to get to share with you guys today. When Tim asked me to be a part of it, I'm like, oh yeah, great. And then he gives me like the section that I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, and how many weeks? And he's like, you've got about 17 minutes, and then you get to have discussion time. I'm like, you do realize that there is like six different sermon series inside the section that you gave me. I have preached a series on like six topics from this. And he's like, yeah, you probably won't be able to cover everything. Like, well, yeah. So if you're looking at this and you go, hey, you didn't talk about, I know. I started, and I was like, all right, I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to narrow it down to three. And then I realized if I tried to preach three sermons in 17 minutes, I might be able to talk that fast. But I don't think that many people can comprehend that fast, especially at 6:30 in the morning. So we are going to look at the Holy Spirit. I wanted so much to talk about heaven and hell as it starts to talk about eternal life. And there's a lot of good stuff. But we are limited by time, so we're going to dive into things. And I just wanted you to understand this isn't a comprehensive course on it because we don't have that much time. But as I begin to look, I go, you know, I think one of the coolest things, if you could travel anywhere in time, would be to go walk with Jesus. And as you think about it and you're like, yeah, I mean, you could, if you had this ability to time travel, would it be cool to see people like sneaking out of the Trojan horse in Troy? Hey, that would be cool. Like, there's all these different things. Seeing this battle or seeing this king would be cool. But man, what would it have been like to be there when you're in the middle of a storm and all of a sudden Jesus is walking on the water? And you're like, that's not normal. Like, I would have loved to have been there when they rolled away the tomb and he starts calling for Lazarus, who's been dead and buried for 4 days. And to be like, what's it look like when he come out? Was this where we get the idea of a mummy because he was wrapped in grave clothes? Like, what did it look like when he come out? What did it look like when there was a man in the temple with a shriveled hand? And Jesus is like, oh yeah, stretch out your hand. He's like, but I, like, what, like, do you things? Like, it would have been so cool to see it. When you look at Jesus' ministry, it was incredible. Like, I want to see like the feeding of the 5,000. And if you're new to Christianity, you're not familiar with this, there's a day where Jesus is teaching to people, and it says there was 5,000 men. It doesn't count the women and children, but when they looked around to see who had food, it was none of the men. It was one of the kids. So there was obviously at least one kid, probably a whole lot more. There's probably as many kids as there were adults. If there's something interesting going on, kids want to see. So 5,000 men plus however many women and children, and they had one little boy's lunch. And Jesus is like, sweet, have everybody sit down. Sit them down in groups of 50 and bring me the food. And everyone's kind of baffled. He takes it, give thanks, breaks it. They hand it out and they end up with 12 baskets full of leftovers. Okay, mathematically, that doesn't work. Not only, let's just say that he was able to instantaneously make every single person full without them taking a bite. Do you realize they didn't have 12 baskets to start with? How many of you guys are one-trip wonders? You like come home from the grocery store and you try to get everything in like a single trip or see how few trips. Yeah, you can't hardly carry 12 bags with nice soft handles that you can load up your arm. And then you're trying to get the door. But you know that kid did not show up with 12 baskets for lunch. Those weren't ginormous loaves of bread. So when did it multiply? Did it multiply as he was praying and giving thanks? Did he hand it to each person and then each disciple just like kept ripping it and handing it and every time? Did the basket itself multiply? Because where did they find 12 baskets? Was it because a bunch of the guys had already eaten their lunch like 12 hours before? Like what? Oh, there's so many cool questions. But watching Jesus, seeing his ministry is amazing. But here's what's crazy. is it's really easy for us to look at Jesus and go, he did cool things. Why? Because he's Jesus. You're like, well, he's God. We learned about this in like week one of our series. Nick was talking about the fact that he was part of the Trinity, that he is God. But Acts chapter 10, verse 38, says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In Philippians 2, verse 6, it says, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant made in the likeness of men. Jesus didn't come down and go, I'm going to heal people because I'm Jesus. It says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed, because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. We don't find any miracles from Jesus' childhood. If Jesus, as a child, like all the kids were like, it's not fair, you keep splitting the pond. Like if there was all of these miracles when they're playing games, do you realize that in his hometown, he would have been the most celebrated? Instead of that being the one place where they're like, dude, I know your family. And a lot of times people discount it and they're like, well, he was just Jesus. But you don't see any miracles until after he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he emptied himself of his power and came as a man. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, things changed. Now, that's super, super important because John 14, 12 sounds impossible until you understand that. John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus is saying this, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. Because I go to the Father. Mike, shriveled hand, walking on water, telling the storm what to do. You begin to look at his ministry and you're like, but this is so crazy. But Jesus didn't say, the things that I did were divine deity tricks so that you would know that I am awesome. No, he goes, hey, you're gonna do these because the same power that I'm using, I'm giving to you. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait, whoa. See, he tells them, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. He goes through and says, don't go anywhere until you've received power. You need the Holy Spirit. You need power. And you watch the disciples' lives be completely changed and transformed. You see Peter go from being from denying Jesus three times to standing up in front of the same people that killed Jesus and sitting here in front of all of them and going, you all betrayed him. And he just boldly declares it. And you're like, what happened to scared Peter? Where did he go? He got empowered. He got filled with the Holy Spirit and it changed him. And it was so much power. It was such a difference in their lives that it was astounding that they noticed that the disciples begin to ask, they begin to pray when as things happen. They said, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and sign and wonders are performed. After they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. When they asked God for boldness, when they asked God for power, God's response was, you need the Holy Spirit. And it's really easy today to go, I don't think I need the Holy Spirit. It's really easy to go, yes, we need the Holy Spirit. Pastors need the Holy Spirit. Evangelists need the Holy Spirit. Christian Navy SEALs need the Holy Spirit. And we have this idea that the Holy Spirit is this wonderful, amazing empowerment for the spiritual elite. That is not the case unless you want to consider every single believer the spiritual elite. But here, I'm going to mess with this because people are wondering why there's a bag of toys on the stage. Come on. All right, so you all know that you are called, that you are chosen by God, that he made you on purpose with a purpose. We can go through in Ephesians 2:10, it says that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared in advance for you to do. This was created on purpose with a purpose. It is a sawzall. Its purpose is to cut things. Now, I can sit here, and it does not do a very good job of cutting things like this. Do you realize that something is missing? Does it have a blade? Yeah. Now, it is one of the least efficient saws when it's not powered. Because instead of even holding stiff while you're doing it, this has got some give because it's supposed to go back and forth. Meaning it like is counterproductive. I'm going like this and it's like shock absorbing it so that it doesn't cut. Or so that it cuts minimally. Now, if I try hard enough and long enough, can I make it through the board? Yeah. But when it's plugged into the power, things change. Well, it couldn't handle the power. Okay, but it very quickly started to change things. I should have brought my nice clamp, but that one was easier to grab. But anyways, you guys have used tools before. You understand the difference between a tool that's powered and a tool that's not being powered. I remember when we were redoing our house, and we painted everything, so I had like every outlet cover in the house taken off. And my wife's like, I want to help you. I'm like, great. And there's some of the jobs you're doing. She's like, I don't know what you're doing. And I'm like, hey, all of the outlet covers need put back on. She's like, well, I can do that. I'm like, great. And so I keep working on whatever project I was working on, and she sets about doing outlet covers. And I don't know, maybe an hour and a half later, I finish whatever it was that I was doing, and I come around, and she's over there with a screwdriver. And I'm like, hey, love, I've got drills. I've got lots of them. You can do this. And she's like, what? And so I get her a drill. She's like, zzz, zzz. She's like, what are you doing? Why did you not give this to me like hours ago? But there are so many Christians that are doing life unplugged. Now, are they still Christians? Yes. Can you go through life without the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, but why? Why would I use the sawzall unplugged? Why use a screwdriver when you can use a drill? Like, but there's so many people that are. And part of it is because they don't understand how thoroughly God's power is supposed to fill us. And here's the thing. When it's really easy to look and go, well, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do the crazy miracles that Jesus did. They're going to, like, if you're raising the dead, you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. If you are, and they, like, list all these really cool things, but they're like, today, I don't think I'm going to encounter any dead people. Today, and because it's just going to be more of normal life, they're like, this is for the elite. But check this out, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you could use more of some of that? The Holy Spirit, Jesus says this in John 16 and 14, he says, the Holy Spirit is your helper, your guide, your teacher, he'll remind, he'll empower. And the Holy Spirit will speak through you, declare, and transfer or give you that which God has for you. I need that. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, faith, working of miracles, healing, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. You go through and go, do you realize that some of these things may look really fancy, but some of these things are stuff you're dealing with all day long? When you have children, you need the Holy Spirit. If you have a wife, you need discernment. Like, you need the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were getting ready and the church began to grow, they said, you know what? We need some people who can pass out bread. We need to make some deacons. And the job is literally to make sure that different widows don't get missed in the bread distribution. Now, when you look at the list of tasks and jobs that need to be done, that's not the one that you look and you go, that has the highest qualifications. I need somebody with a master's degree. Why? Because you're going to pass out bread. You're like, do we have a volunteer? High schooler? Middle school? Like, my 7-year-old would love to do this. Like, this is not this massive thing. But they go, hey, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit. Qualifying feature for becoming a bread passer outer was you need the Holy Spirit. And then this is what's crazy. If you follow this, what happened to those that they picked? Philip was among those that they picked. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip. And when the persecution arose after Stephen was martyred, people take off everywhere except for the original apostles, disciples. He goes to another city, and when he does, he begins to preach, and all of a sudden, there are signs and wonders done by the bread passer-outer. The people begin to believe. After they believe, sorry, I'm trying to flip while talking to Acts chapter 8, but in Acts chapter 8, there's all of these different miracles being performed. They hear the gospel, they believe. And then after that, the apostles show up, Peter and John show up, and when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. First, they heard the gospel when Philip preached it. Then they believed. Then they were baptized. They saw signs and wonders. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So there are some people who are like, I don't need the Holy Spirit because I received the Holy Spirit when I believed. They believed. They were baptized. Biblically, they were seeing this. They had become disciples. They had become what we would call Christians, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. They pray for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They received the power. But it was the deacon. It was the bread passer outer. And I just begin to look and to go, okay, hey, I have seen the Holy Spirit at work in my life in really cool ways. I've seen healings. I've seen cancer disappear. I've had words of knowledge and had like a vision of a spine that was being, that had a disc that was not in the right spot that had to get put back and that God wanted to heal, gave the word and had 3 people's backs get healed. I have seen God do really cool things, but I've had the Holy Spirit do life-changing things that other people only know about because I'm a pastor and have to use stories. I remember my wife one time, she was complaining a bunch about different things. And so when she first started complaining, I thought it was legitimate. She's complaining about needing help with something. I'm like, all right, so I'll help you more with whatever it was that you were complaining about. And so I helped her more with what she was complaining about, so she started complaining about something else. I'm like, okay, so I'm helping you more with this, and I'm helping you more with this, and I'm helping you more with this. And it, like, the more things that I tried to do that she complained about, the more things that she found to complain about. And maybe this is going to speak to you, but like, it went on. And this was like, not like a day, this was like weeks. And I was busting my butt trying to do everything that she complained about. But I swear, the harder that I worked at doing everything that she said, the more that she would complain. And then by the time I finished everything that she said she wanted done, I was fried. And then it was like, all right, hey, let's just sit down. We're going to watch something and we're going to go to bed because after work and then all the things that she complained, I was done. And after weeks, I'm like, this is not getting better. This is getting worse. And it was one of those ones where you're like, God, help. What do I do? There does not seem to be any level of help that I can give this woman. What do I do? And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he said, you know her list of things that she's complained about? I'm like, yeah. He's like, ignore it. Sit down and play a game with her. I'm like, that's counterintuitive. She's annoyed. Who wants to play a game with an annoyed woman? Like, really? But like, especially when they ask you to do something, right? Like, this seems like insulting almost. But the Holy Spirit spoke, and so I listened. It was crazy. This is what I discovered. It had nothing to do with all the things that she was complaining about. She was empty. And because she was empty and what she wanted was quality time. And what I didn't know was that her definition of what counted as quality time had shifted. And what I was doing, I thought I was speaking I love you as loud as I possibly could. I was using all of my strength, all of my effort, doing tons of acts of service because that's how she was vocalizing her emptiness. But when she was empty, what she needed was quality time face to face. Now, would I have figured that out on my own? No, I am not that smart. I would have very logically said, this is what she said, so that must be what it is. But when the Holy Spirit spoke, he said, you need to just stop and spend some time with her. I spent some time with her, and she was just like, oh. And I'm like, we've been spending time every night. After I do all of this, we sat down and we would watch whatever. She's like, that does not count. Watching something does not count. We are sitting side by side, facing the same direction, but we are not looking at each other, and there is not communication happening. It does not count for anything. I'm like, well, you could have told me that a month ago. But the more things that she complained about, the more of them that I would do, the less time that she was getting, the more empty that she would feel, the more things she would find to complain about. I needed the Holy Spirit to speak to me because Jesus said he would be my guide. I needed him to speak in my marriage so that I could be the husband that he created me to be. If you have children, you need the Holy Spirit. They don't come with manuals. I wish they did. Because it's a parenting book, maybe the greatest or the worst thing. And this is why. How many of you have more than one child? Then you know this. They are different. Same recipe, different results. We have four kids. It is the same father and the same mother. My kids are completely different from each other. Now, there is things that they have in common. There is things, and some of that may be genetic, and some of that may be that they have the same father who, and mother who teach them some of the same things, but they are very, very different personalities. And then at different points, they have different issues. And sometimes what you need, what they need, can be understood logically, and there are other times where it cannot. I remember hearing from a mother of a young child. Child was sub 10, so about, I'm going to guess about 8, 9. And the child started asking questions about heaven. Now, as a believer, normally you're like, hey, my kids are asking questions about things that are biblical. If you know the answers, it's exciting. If you don't, it might be a little bit scary, but you're still glad that they have a desire and a hunger here. But the Holy Spirit spoke to this mother. So he's asking questions about heaven because he wants to die. Now, if you have a teenager that's presenting themselves goth, you hear that and you're like, obviously. Like, you pick it up pretty easy. When you have an 8-year-old, you're like, no. They're asking questions about heaven because they want to know about everything in life. But the Holy Spirit was like, they want to die. ask him. He said, the mother was like, I don't want to put those kind of thoughts in their head. The Holy Spirit was like, ask him. So she said, do you want to know about heaven because you want to die? And the kid began to break down. And the 8-year-old explained their plan for suicide. Wasn't a very good plan. Wouldn't have worked very well. But they had a plan. They knew what, they knew where, and they knew how they were going to try. And because the Holy Spirit spoke, the mom was able to cut it off. The mom was able to go, all right, hey, what is going on? Where did this come in? We need to get some help. And they're doing well. But we need the Holy Spirit, not just in these grand things. And I am all for those grand things. I am all for seeing people healed. I am all for words of knowledge. I am all for all of the gifts. But I want you to know that every believer, Jesus said, don't leave the city till you are filled with power, because he thought it was important. We need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And sometimes people go, I don't know that I need it. Here, if a mailman says, you know what? I don't think I need this package. And doesn't deliver your mail, who misses out? You. But I didn't do anything wrong. You're right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So when the Holy Spirit moves on you, it's so that God can move through you. It is the supernatural power of God allowing you to go beyond your own ability to accomplish God's purpose on the earth. If we neglect this because we don't feel like it, what happens? Then the power that God distributed to see his will done isn't used, and his will isn't done. That means the power that he sent out to accomplish his task gets left unused because somebody said, I don't think I need it. Someone said, well, I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. So? Okay, as a dad, I have children, I have 4 of them, so occasionally I will commission one of my children to accomplish my will or to go and deliver something to one of their siblings. It might be, hey, bring this, it might be, go get them, go tell them. But do you realize when I commission one of my children to go do it to the other, to deliver my will, that, in frankly, whether or not they want to do it, I don't care. I commissioned them, and I expect them to do what I commissioned them to do. If I tell my daughter, hey, go make sure your brother's awake, I expect her to go down and make sure her brother's awake. If she doesn't, now he's late for breakfast, he's in trouble, and she's in trouble. What if God is trying to answer a prayer to bring ministry to somebody that you work with? What if your in-laws that may bother you have been praying for her, their child, their daughter, for years, that she would be ministered to? They may have been praying for the spouse of their daughter since their daughter was 5. You're the answer to that prayer, and you're supposed to answer it equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And like when I begin to break it down, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, well, how on earth could I do this unless I am filled? I am not that good. I need his power. we need to stay full. I'm going to turn it over to your tables in just a moment. I got some questions, but if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is not hocus pocus. This is not once you have reached 1 year of following Jesus, been fasting for at least 3 days. Jesus said, ask and receive. Yes. He commissioned believers. Right. At your table, there are believers. If you're not a believer, I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment to become a believer. But I'm going to invite you, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, at your table, before you hit the three questions that are up there, actually, it might be the first question. Your table can pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that if you ask him, he will give the Holy Spirit. If no one at your table feels like, if they're all like, I don't know what to do, or your whole table's like, we all need the Holy Spirit, then come up to me and bring it on. And we will pray, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that as we speak in tongues, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit that I don't have time to do a whole teaching on, but that it will encourage, that it will build us up and strengthen us. When Jesus went into the desert in Luke chapter 4, he went out led by the Holy Spirit. He followed the lead of the Holy Spirit, and when he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, if you go, hey, I have not been seeing the power, I want to encourage you to stir it up, to speak in tongues, and I want to encourage you to obey. When we follow the Holy Spirit's lead, we end up in the Holy Spirit's power. And you need that in ministry, but you need that at work, and you need that in your marriage, and you need that in your parenting. But I want to make sure that step one is that you know Jesus, that you've surrendered your life to Jesus, then comes the Holy Spirit. Can everyone bow their heads and close their eyes? If you're here, okay, we're gonna say a simple prayer. The Bible says whoever calls the name of the Lord will be saved. So we're just gonna call on his name. So I just want you to repeat this with me. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I believe that you died and rose again, that your blood paid the price for my sins. I repent of my sins. Today, I make you the Lord of my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. If you made that decision today, you say, hey, today I meant business, either for the first time or I came back to God because I have not been living for him. I prayed that from my heart. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and raise up your hand. Say, hey, awesome. Who else says, today I made that decision? Awesome. All right. You can put your hands down. Most important decision that you ever make. God is moving in this place. And I want to encourage you to spend time daily in your word, in God's word, in prayer, to get water baptized, to get filled with the Holy Spirit here in just a minute, and to get plugged into the church. All right, we've got three questions for you that are heading up. Did they get them? Haha, they do. So here are the questions. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So if not, you guys can dive into that at your table. Where in life could you most use God's strength? And how can we be filled with God's power in our daily lives?